But I got a question for you. You ever played this game? Yeah, some of you are like, no, I would never. What is that? Well, the name of the game is called Headbands. My son had a Disney version of this, and I thought about bringing it today, but it didn't look right with the mouse ears, so I left it where it was. But let me explain this game to you. The way the game works is you, as a participant in the game, would take this headband and you put it on your head. And then you draw a card, and without looking at the card, that would be cheating, okay? You put the card on the headband in such a way that the people, other people in the game can see the card, but you never got to see it. And the card, you may not be able to read them from where you're at. It says, I am a, and in this case, a soccer ball or ladybug and a flower is what's there on that thing. But I am, and then your job throughout the game is to ask only yes or no questions to figure out what you are. And my son loved this game. I got to be honest with you. I felt like an idiot playing this game, with sitting there with this little band on my head and a card stuck up here. But we played. And yes, this has something to do with our sermon today. And our sermon is kind of heading almost to the midway point of this sermon series that we're calling Tailor Made. And in it, we are discussing the uniform of the priest of Israel. So remember last week, Bill joined us. So here's Bill. He's still here. And Bill is here. And right now he is wearing the uniform of the everyday priest, which you would see. And you can find the design in Exodus chapter 28. And by the way, if you want backup, you can go to Exodus chapter 39. Exodus 28 is when God told them what they were making. Exodus 39 is when they made what God told them to make. And the funny thing is they read exactly the same, which means they learned their lesson very quickly. They made it exactly how God said to make it. And well, we've gotten over the everyday outfit. And these were the garments provided that the priest wore every single day when he came into the tabernacle at that point, eventually the temple. But our friend Bill here, he wants to be more. I mean, this is cool. I mean, this is every day. But Bill desires to be the high priest. Now remember, in our model, Jesus is the high priest, not us. But for this particular series, Bill desires to be the high priest. And so to be the high priest, he needs some more clothes. It's kind of funny, when the sermon ended last week, everybody here, I think, okay, not everybody, but I would say half the people here started giving me suggestions of how to put more clothes on Bill. Come on, guys. You know me by now. If I go to all the trouble to make this, you know I've got a plan. So just hang with me. But let's talk about what we have to add to Bill to make him the high priest. He needs a headpiece, Exodus chapter 28, verses 36 through 38. He needs a robe, Exodus chapter 28, verses 31 through 35. He needs an ephod. We'll get to that. Exodus chapter 28, verses 6 through 14. And he's going to need a breastpiece, Exodus chapter 28, verses 15 through 19. And what you need to know before we start dressing Bill up here, they are not intended to provide protection from the elements or fulfill some requirement of modesty. So usually when we put on clothes, we put on a sweater. Most of us put on a sweater when it's cold. There are some of us that still wear short sleeve shirts most of the winter. Most of us will put shorts on when it's hot. We put a coat on when it's raining. So we allow what's going on outside of our life to judge what I'm going to wear that day. Or where I'm going to go that day also judges where I'm going to wear that day. That's not what these were for. They were not there just to meet some requirement, and they were not there to make him modest. Okay? He's already pretty modest. I mean, we've got his hands, his feet, and his face, and that's all that's showing. So he's pretty modest. And the thing is, their weight and the way they were placed on the high priest, well, it would render it uncomfortable. I don't think the high priest was like, woohoo, I get to put this on today, because you understand these pieces were not made with comfort in mind. They were made with God's design in mind. So we need to remember that. That's not the purpose here. These things were special, okay? They weren't part of the everyday attire. Now remember, a priest would represent, the everyday priest would represent individuals to God and God to individuals. That's his job. Okay, that's the job description. The role of the high priest was about representing the nation to God and God to the nation. So the priest was more of the individual person every single day, the hand-to-hand combat. The high priest was there, and you really only saw this high priest garment when he was representing the nation. For the Old Testament high priest, he only wore these garments, again, representing the nation of Israel. So he didn't come out in his priestly high priest garments on the day that, yeah, I'm just going to go sacrifice some pieces here and there. I've got a few things to do. Let me get dressed. This was for a very special occasion. And all the other times, guess what the high priest wore? The everyday attire. He spent more time wearing this than he ever spent wearing the priestly, a high priest garment. As a matter of fact, all of the high priest garments went on over top of this, and that's a great object lesson for us, because a lot of times we think, I have to be special. Your special is supposed to be on top of your everyday life. Keep that thought in your mind. So let's talk about the outfit, and we're going to start with one piece. We're not doing the whole uniform today. Aren't you glad? Could you imagine how long you'd be here? Okay. We're doing one piece of the uniform, and we're going to start with the headpiece, as it's found in Exodus chapter 28, verses 36 through 38. This is what it says. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as a seal, holy to the Lord. Fasten a blue cord to attach it to the turban, and it is to be in the front of the turban. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gift, the Israelites involved in the sacred gifts. The Israelites consecrate whatever their gifts may be. It will be on Aaron's forehead continually so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. So what is this headpiece? Well, if you go out online, they have a lot of different drawings for it. But you know what the headpiece is? It's a headband. It's just like the thing from the game. It was something that was placed on his head, and there was a kind of a card placed on front of it. But it wasn't a card. It says it was a plate, and that plate was made of pure gold. Wow. This was an expensive headband. We wouldn't be playing games with this. I'm sure they kept this someplace nice and safe when he wasn't wearing it, because this is an expensive piece. And well, the headband was attached with a blue cord. So save that away. We'll talk about what the blue meant next week when we talk about the robe. But for this time, just remember, the headband itself, the band was made of a blue cord. And well, it was placed on the front of the turban. I told you, Barry has a plan. Okay? So what would happen is they would take this turban. And you wonder why I saved all that cardboard when we had all those cups here. Yeah, well, see? So they would take this turban, and they would take this band, and they would place it on this turban, and it would look something like that. And the funny thing is, once he had it on, the high priest couldn't see what it said. No matter how hard he tried, I guess if he got a mirror, but even in the mirror, it would be backwards, right? Because that's the way mirrors work. You ever tried to read your t-shirt in the mirror? It just looked wrong, okay? So he could never see exactly what it said, but however, as he was walking around, it would be a constant reminder to anyone that saw him. So that makes a big difference in the way I see that, because I need you to store that away, because since he couldn't see it, you got to remember it wasn't just a blank piece of gold that was put up there. It wasn't a piece of jewelry. It was engraved. And before they put it on him, it was engraved on with a seal, holy to the Lord. How'd you like to be that your headband? You have to guess what I am today. Go ahead, guess me to be holy to the Lord. You'd have a hard time guessing some days when I'm around. Holy to the Lord. Remember, we talked about this in week one with the no shoes allowed, something, or in this case, somebody that is holy, was dedicated to God. So when he put that headband on, it was to alert everybody, holy to the Lord. I am holy. I am dedicated to God. The idea of to the Lord, well, you could take that phrase two ways. It could mean that how God looked upon the priest wearing the tag. So So when he put the headband on and God looked down, he said, "Holy to the Lord." Of course, it also meant that the priest was supposed to look at himself the way that he was wearing a label. Anybody ever here have a substitute teacher when you were going through school? And on that day that you're having a substitute teacher, you try to play the oldest trick in the book. You know, they have assigned seats and where you're supposed to be. So you switch seats with your best friend. And so, you know, for that day, Norm can be Barry and Barry can be Norm. And you just think it's kind of funny because you pull one over because she doesn't know who you are. And it's not like you're wearing a name tag. I know people that used to do this at stores. They would switch name tags with people. So you could be somebody else for that day. But the name tag and the name didn't match. So he's putting this tag on and he has to match what it says. Ugh. How'd you like to walk around with that? Everybody loves it. Holy to the Lord. Yeah, that's his name. Holy to the Lord. It says right there on his tag. Over and over and over, he had to do this. Whew. That would be hard. You see, when he put this on, he was taking the responsibility of being the go-between between God and man. And folks, that's an awesome responsibility. Okay, that's a stressful job. And then God goes one step further. He says, and by the way, this is supposed to seal you. Let me read you a few verses about sealing. Store these away. We'll be back. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Now it is God who makes both of us, and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us and put his Spirit in our hearts and a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Seals. This headpiece, it would have been the last thing that got put on. Now, we're starting at the top for a reason. I have a logical reason I put this in the order I did. But this would have been the last piece of the outfit put on. And made of pure gold, you got to really get a picture here, and I'm going to give you one here in just a minute. Being made of pure gold, it would have added significant weight to the priest's head. Okay? Not enough to crush him. So it's not so big that he's like, "Oh, that's too much for me." But it would have been something that he would have had to balance. Remember this when they were trying to teach people to stand up straight and you put the book on your head and then they'd ask you to walk from one side of the room to the other and not let the book fall off. So you'd have to learn how to hold your head up straight and keep your back straight and not move too fast. Don't make any sudden moves because if I make a sudden move, what's going to happen to the book? It's going to hit the floor. Imagine this priest. They put this headband on him. And that's kind of how he's going to have to walk. With this headband in place, it was just held by a little rope. So it would have affected his posture and his walk. I got a feeling he didn't put this on and say, "Let's go run a marathon." Nope. You know, he probably took the shortest distance between two points because this thing was on his head. Again, pure gold. We know how heavy this thing probably is. He knows it's there. He can feel it all the time. And while the physical weight would have been a lot, but that would have been minuscule compared to the emotional and even the spiritual weight that this thing put on the priest. See, like a Christmas package underneath the tree, this seal let everybody know I belong to God. See me as holy. You know what that meant, right? That means that this priest wearing that tag would have been under constant scrutiny. You think people didn't look for flaws? Oh, they did. As a matter of fact, they probably picked at every flaw. Oh, look, that headband's not quite centered. He must have been in a little hurry. Oh, he didn't take the right step. Every flaw he made wearing holy to the Lord across his forehead would have been picked at. They would have dissected his every action. Man, wearing that tag, you may as well just to put a kick me sign on your back, because everything you do, somebody's going to have an opinion of it. And you know what? As the leader, everything you do is going to be wrong. And somebody's going to have a negative opinion of it. That's what he signed up for when he wore that headpiece, that seal. They're going to parse his every word. Yep, that's what they're going to do. Listen very carefully just so they can see the first time you make a mistake in what you say. Folks, that headpiece, it came with a lot of responsibility, didn't it? Here is a man, and keep in mind, that's who he is. He's just a man. He's not perfect. He's going to have his good days and his bad days. He's just an individual. But here is a man that is going to, every day of his life, have this idea, holy to the Lord. Aren't you glad you don't have to walk around with that? Aren't you glad you don't have to walk around with that kind of a seal on your life? Did you notice those verses I read to you? They weren't from the Old Testament. They were from the New Testament. And they weren't written to a bunch of people that were going to a tabernacle. They were written to a churches. And it talks about the fact that as a follower of Christ, guess what? I got a seal. And I got a seal that I'm supposed to wear every single day of my life. And well, that seal isn't a plate of gold that I put on my head. It says it's the Holy Spirit. And it comes and he lives inside of me. So you know what that means, right? He even goes to bed with me at night. When the priest went to bed at night, my guess is he untied the blue cord, probably took his neck. Oh, gosh, I'm glad this day is over. Man, that was a lot of stuff that went on today. I don't get to take it off. My seal is part of me. And I have to live with it 24/7. Now, I read those three verses, and there were some words in there that, man, we like these words, don't we? These are comforting words that when I hear about how much God loved me and how he gave me his seal, I get the guarantee that I belong to God as long as I have his Holy Spirit. We use the word, it's a part of our salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit. My seal is my acknowledgement that I believe. My seal comes with promises. My seal comes with redemption. Yeah. Someday all the mistakes that I've made and all the things I've messed up in my life, Jesus still loves me enough, and someday I'm going to be redeemed. Very comforting, but you do realize those verses have some other things that we need to pay attention to. Can you feel the weight? That seal means that I'm supposed to stand firm. It means that when the world is going one way and says this is the way we're supposed to do it, and God says this is the way we're supposed to do it, that means I stand with God. I have to stand firm. It says that I am anointed and I am owned. We talked a little bit about this last week. With the everyday outfit and the fact that I am a possession of the person that put the tag on me, holy to the Lord, I'm his. It says it's put in us. Again, it's not something that I can take it out. You stay there, I'll be back to get you later, Holy Spirit, and I can go live my life. It doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter what I do. He's going there with me, whether I want him to or not. If I have a bad day and I lose my temper, I lose my patience, there's the Holy Spirit there with me. That's hard. It says that we're supposed to be marked with him. We'll get to that in a moment. But it also says that I have the ability to grieve the Holy Spirit with my actions. So this is an interactive seal. This is a lot more weight than a gold plate, don't you think? This is a part of my life. And you know what? The weight of that seal should absolutely impact my walk and how I live my life. Okay? Can you tell I practiced this week? I did. Okay? Okay, you don't know how many times the book hit the floor before I got this right. Okay, so it's supposed to. I'm not supposed to be able to just move like normal. That seal should impact my life. Let me just strengthen that. If your faith makes no impact to your life away from this building, you know what it means? You're not wearing it. You never put it on. If you can walk out of this building and leave the seal behind, if you can compartmentalize your life that far, that this is the way I live my life away from the church, and this is the way I live my life to the building, then you understand, you're not putting it on, you're renting it. It's kind of funny, when I got married, my wife, her mom made her wedding dress, and that wedding dress is in our closet in a box now. The tux that I wore to our wedding, you know how I got it? I rented it. I have no idea where it is today. All right, 25 years ago, 27 years ago, it's gone. The moths have eaten it by now, and I wouldn't fit in it anyway. So you understand there's a difference between putting it on and just trying it out. You know what it should do? Your seal should call attention to your life. I've had people say, how do you know somebody's a Christian? If you're having to ask that question, that's probably not a good question, is it? It means they've got no evidence that people can look at. Sometimes it's going to make you look a little awkward, because sometimes my seal says, holy to the Lord, and my action says, doesn't have a clue. All right? That's me. And it makes me look awkward. Sometimes it's like I'm walking a tightrope with the book on my head, and I'm trying not to fall, and that's the way it looks. It just makes you look awkward, and that seal isn't going to be comfortable. Christianity was never meant to be comfortable, folks. It wasn't. Think about the cross. You think Jesus was comfortable? No, there was no padding on the cross. There was no seat. There was just the cross. You know what? Sometimes it's not going to be very practical. Yeah, I got things I want to do, places I want to go, people I want to see. But then I got this Holy Spirit thing, and I can't take that Spirit where I want to go. Yeah, because it's not supposed to be practical. That's not what it was supposed to do. But here's the deal. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't care what you did. I don't care how you try. He's going to be there. He's going to be present in your life every moment of every day. And you know what that means, right? Yep, people are going to put you under constant scrutiny. They're going to pick at your every flaw. They're going to look at your every action. They're going to look at the way you talk and parse your speech. This seal, folks, comes with responsibility. And I think we, the church, have forgotten this sometimes. We think the Holy Spirit is that magic lamp we rub when we come into prayer. God, I need a new car. 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 And the car is just supposed to appear out of the lamp. That's not what the seal was for. The seal was there to mark you, to identify your territory, the God's territory, that you are holy to the Lord. And I say that to remind us, don't put it on lightly. Yeah. Don't put your Christian faith on it very lightly, because you understand the moment you walk out that door and you say the words, I am a Christian, you put the kick me sign on the back of your shirt. And trust me, Satan's going to take every kick he can get. Okay, and the world's going to take every kick it can get. So don't put it on lightly, because when you put it on, you say, God, I'm willing to accept the responsibility. Yes, I understand this is my salvation. Yes, I understand this means I'm a Christian. Yes, I understand this means I belong to you. But it means I have all the responsibilities and duties that come with it. Holy to the Lord, folks. You there? So I want to switch gears for a little minute, for just a moment here. I want to ask you to understand the spiritual significance behind this seal. So today we came to church, and it doesn't look like it did in the Old Testament. See, the Aaron would come in, and when he had all this garb on, all these garments, and he would sacrifice, it was the Day of Atonement, and he was going to sacrifice, and he'd have the the little blood. He'd go behind the curtain and he'd sprinkle it. We have curtains. I guess I could have tried that. He could sprinkle it on a little box, and that's what it was all about. But God says it's more than just what he's doing. Listen to this. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts the Israelites consecrate. Whatever their gifts may be, it will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. So Aaron was the first priest. Okay, that's who he was. If you're not familiar with who Aaron is, it's not somebody sitting here. He was the first priest. And so it said that putting this on and then doing that sacrifice, it means that you're taking all of the guilt and all of the sin on that Day of Atonement, and you're putting it on your shoulders, essentially, and you're walking them before God. Just so you know, that is not my job today. I am not a high priest. Good thing, because I don't have any fancy clothes to put on. I just wear whatever's on the top of the closet my wife says goes together. That's just the way I do things. But why don't we have this today? Well, it's because we have this guy named Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, this is what it says. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. So this is about the seal. In the Old Testament, Aaron had to put all of the weight on him, and he had to go before God very cautiously, and there was a ceremony for doing this that consequently also meant that he took all of his clothes off, including the seal, and he went before God naked. Okay, that's how they did it. I don't do that today. Why? Because, remember, I'm not the high priest. I am a priest in the line that Jesus said that we are a royal priesthood. But the person that is my high priest, the person that bore the guilt, well, it was all about sacrifice, much like Rich was talking about. What does the Bible say? Without sacrifice, there is no remission of sins. Folks, today there was a sacrifice. We celebrated it at communion. Today we have Jesus. And that changed it. No more do I have to put on airs or put on this seal to make me declared holy to the Lord. I have Jesus. And well, we have Jesus, and he offered the ultimate sacrifice, but he was also the ultimate high priest. See, Aaron kept having to go back. Every year, they had a celebration called the Day of Atonement, and every year, another lamb had to be killed. And then every year, he had to go back through the same process of putting this garb on and going through the ceremony and going through the curtain and taking the clothes off and going through the curtain and sprinkling the blood and coming back out and putting his clothes on and then coming back out and stopping by the basin and washing his hands and his feet. Every year, they had to do this, and we don't do that because Jesus says, I'm not bringing you the blood of goats anymore. I brought you my blood. Mine. That's what was offered for your seal. That's what the price was. It wasn't just some goat. It wasn't just some lamb. It was God. And it says that he went to the most holy place and offered himself. How valuable are you? That the Son of God would appreciate you and love you so much that he said, I am willing to die for you. Wow. I must be pretty valuable, don't you think? It makes me feel good about myself. Yeah. It makes me comfortable. Makes me things. But remember, it comes with that seal. It's going to be attached. And it was offered one time for all. If you're waiting for Act 2 for Jesus, you're not going to really like Act 2 unless you understand Act 1. Because Act 2, he ain't coming back to do it again. There is no curtain call for Jesus to come back and do another sacrifice. He's done. Once for all. It's an open gate now. He bore our sins. He put them on himself. So that, you know what? I can be acceptable before God. No headband needed. No clothes needed, really, except for when I come here. Yeah, we have to have clothes. We have to be modest. But I don't have to have any special outfit to come before God. So you understand what that means. When you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are signed, sealed, and delivered into the very presence of God. But guess what? In His presence, you are holy to the Lord. You are sealed with His Spirit. And it comes with the responsibility to take Christ out into the world and share Him with those that don't have the message yet.